We're back with more Christian Talk with John Cash on The John Cash Show.
Folks, I'm David Allen Carmichael standing in for John Cash today. And again, John Cash will talk about these issues. He says it's conservative talk radio from a Christian perspective. Of course, my reference will be then the Bible. But also we go back to the foundations of our nation because our government, according to the Bible, is supposed to be a minister of God for our good. So that's what it is, a minister of God. It's for our good. So I go back to the founding parts of the, what were the founders reading with regard to law? And so I spent some time reading Sir William Blackstone's commentaries on the laws of England. That was published in 1766. That's what the founders were reading. In fact, if you look at the Declaration of Independence, often you'll see some statements there. If you read Blackstone's commentaries and some other of his contemporaries and predecessors, that you realize that the founders of the nation were just really extrapolating things that had already been said, that already were understood as self-evident truths, and putting them in our documents at that time would have been contemporary for our founders. So I'm going to read something here, and it might seem to inflame your passions, or it might just ring as a bell of truth. One thing I was considering preparing to come here today is that what we find less of every day is the ability for people to recognize self-evident truths. When I evaluated the Roe versus Wade oral arguments, as I listening to the two sides, the state of Texas was arguing as if everybody already understood self-evident truths, so he wasn't really citing some substantive law. But those who were wanting to make sure that we advance infanticide were actually deceiving the court by misquoting those things that hundreds of years ago were understood as self-evident truth. So again, our number here is 454-1650. It works well for fairness. So I'm going to read something. This is on the crimes parts of the commentaries of law that the founders were reading. And this is in the fourth book of Blackstone's commentaries, chapter 15, Crimes Against Individuals. It is true, says this learned judge, and he was quoting, I believe, Sir Edward Coke, that rape is most detestable crime, therefore ought severely and impartially to be punished with death, but it must be remembered that it is an accusation easy to be made, hard to be proved, but harder to be defended by the party accused, though innocent. So we've got some statutes on the books like crimes, the crime of sodomy and other kind of strange things like that, where you say, well, why is that? Figure, were they going to kick in somebody's door? No, they're not going to kick in your door. Obviously, the point of it not being easy to prove has just realization that part of the government's job is to protect our doors from being kicked in. And then those things we do behind closed doors, ultimately, it's appointed man wants to die, then the judgment. So it'll all be taken care of in the long run. But he continues to go on. He talks about malicious prosecutions and things like that. And so as he continues to speak here on the law and these kind of, I guess, sexual sin laws, what has been here observed, especially with regard to the manner of proof, which ought to be more clear in proportion as the crime is more detestable, may be applied to another offense. Now, what is this other offense of a still deeper malignity? The infamous crime against nature. Now, what is that? Well, let's just connect the dots. Infamous crime against nature committed either with man or beast, a crime which ought to be strictly and impartially proved, as then as strictly and impartially punished, but it is an offense so dark a nature, so easily charged, and the negative so difficult to be proved that the accusation should be clearly made out. For if false, it deserves a punishment inferior only to that of the crime itself. And I'm just going to continue to see how this stuff is being articulated. Some people say there's things in the Bible. In fact, I've heard the President of the United States say there's this ambiguous statement in the book of Romans that didn't name homosexuality in particular. It just sort of described it. Let's see what Mr. Blackstone said. He said, I will not act so disagreeable part to my readers as well as myself as to dwell any longer on a subject the very mention of which is a disgrace to human nature. It will be more eligible to imitate, in this respect, the delicacy of our English law, which treats it in its very indictments as a crime not fit to be named. In modern terms, we try to put a happy name on it. And it's very controversial. You say, are you, oh, you're so hateful. John Cash is nice. He's not mean like David Allan Carmichael's guest host. What I'm trying to do is just, let's just get back and look at truth. Let's look at the facts and let the facts lead us down in certain conclusions. There are things that are right and there are things that are wrong. And just because we enjoy wrong doesn't mean it should be a right. We don't have a right to do that which is wrong. It's a very, very, very important care that any agency, whether it be the government or a religious, you know, religiously based affiliation, association, whatever it is, if we're taking care to protect the lives of the most innocent of our society, then let's have the highest standard. Well, somebody who doesn't have necessarily the highest standard doesn't have the privilege of enjoying that adoption situation, possibly. But you know what? In the long run, the big scheme of humanity, your particular preference isn't what's important. The important thing is to protect the lives of the most innocent. In fact, if you do go to the introduction of the same commentaries of law, you'll find that the purpose of government was essentially to protect the rights of the weaker member of our society from the insults and injuries of the stronger member of our society. And think about it. When a child is in a home of any type, he's at the disadvantage, absolutely at the disadvantage. So we must have a supremely high standard, a very strict standard when we're going to consider placing a child against their will in an unnatural situation for the sake of their protection and their rearing. There's nothing as good, obviously, as loving mom and dad. A mom and dad who are fulfilling the law of the land. In fact, they're fulfilling the example and the teaching, the leading of Jesus Christ, and they're walking in that in all their ways. And again, at that point, what law are they violating? None. They're operating under the law of love God and love your neighbor as yourself. That is the ultimate best for our children, for our society. Now, in this new regulation, it runs along just very quite like its predecessor. The old regulation pretty much gave people who are going to investigate families the ability to go in there and look at them and just kind of evaluate it and write commentaries and give their opinion. So if you have a county that hires depraved people to go make determinations on adopted families, well, then you're going to have children at risk being put in depraved homes. You don't need to have a anti-discrimination clause in there if you feel like you want that to happen. I mean, it's just going to happen. You might have other counties that have a very high, strict standard of scrutiny when they're investigating families, when they're going to be putting vulnerable children in there. Because we're going to reap what we sow as a society. If we hold ourselves to the highest standard, we're going to reap the benefits. And if we don't, then we're going to also reap the catastrophe. The number here is 454-1650. And I'm David Allan Carmichael. I'm standing in here for John Cash. You can find out more about John Cash at johncashministries.com. Currently, John Cash is in Cuba. He's in Cuba, and he's doing a evangelism ministry. He's very excited about it. And I just from me to you, I really encourage you to get on board if you're an advertising or a company that needs advertisement or doesn't need advertisement. I think it'd be great if you'd get on board with his supporters and sponsors, because I'll tell you what, he's got good work. And one of the things that I appreciate about John is he comes back every day with a refreshing perspective on the issues that confront us. And much that you see in the media is distractors. And there's a lot of reality on these situations aren't really brought up by the newscasters. They're kind of an entertainment machine, and they really might just distract you to the nuggets that you ought to be thinking about. So that's why I appreciate John and the John Cash Show. So when I come back, I'm actually going to be reading from the Bible. I can get away with it on John Cash Show because it's truth. It's ultimately what the law of the land is based on for those who founded this government of Virginia. So when I get back, I'm going to be reading out of the Bible, and it's going to be talking about whether or not we have the ability to recognize self-evident truths. If you'd like to weigh in, of course, you can call here at 454-1650. Warning, I'll be back Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And, of course, you can give us a call on either day and give us your input. Look forward to hearing from you. We'll be back.
We're back with more Christian Talk with John Cash on The John Cash Show.
Okay, Dan, liar, liar, pants on fire, hanging on the telephone wire. I'm David Allen Carmichael, standing in for John Cash, of course, on The John Cash Show. And I don't know if we'll see if Dan turns his head after I said that. I know he's in the next room. Whether he can hear me or not, I don't know. We got that bulletproof, soundproof glass kind of separation there. Okay, what I'm going to do, I promise this, and nobody called at 454-1650. Come on. I mean, think about it. Think about that thing. Be brave. Be courageous. Be, you know, hey, who knows? Maybe you might just start a radio career. Give us a call, 454-1650. But nevertheless, in the meantime, I went to this thing when I was reviewing this, and I started looking up the Bible things. The Bible things, obviously, it was declared that this homosexuality was a wrong thing. If you go to 1 Corinthians 6:9, yes, it's just confused everybody, but, and it talks about sexual sins and other sins and things that are bad. And when you go through the list, you know what you find? You look at it, and it's the kind of things that the adoption agencies will look at, besides homosexuality, is these just conduct, like drunkenness and other things like that. So, but rather than go through that, I realize those are the kind of things that reap destruction on our society. But as I was also looking at some other things, some text in 2 Peter, where it's talking about those who in the end times are basically going to lose their minds. We have this pandemic of dementia these days. Hey, we have a caller with a question. No, we don't. She hung up. It might have been an attack. It's one of those, it's a worm or something. I don't know. If you would like to give us a call back at 454-1650, we'd love to take your call. But as I was continuing to read in the Bible, I looked at the stuff when it's, I'm going to go ahead and read this stuff, and then I'm going to go to the good news. Because we can't just have this rotten just complaining about people being demented. But here we go. It says, talking about people who are just have lost their minds because of their wickedness. It says, these like natural brute beasts made to be caught and destroyed, speak evil of the things they do not understand, and will utterly perish in their own corruption, and will receive the wages of unrighteousness as those who count it pleasure to do carouse in the daytime. They are spots and blemishes, carousing in their own deceptions while they feast with you. Continuing on, this is 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 14. Having eyes full of adultery and cannot cease from sin, enticing unstable souls. They have a heart trained in covetous practices, are cursed children. They have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but he was rebuked for his iniquity. Dumb donkey speaking with a man's voice, restrain the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds carried by a tempest, for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Sounds really bad, and I've got two more verses I want to read here. For when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lusts of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption, for by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. Now that's the bad news. And what we're seeing is a struggle in our society between corrupt minds and hopefully regenerate minds. Now, the thing I want to remind those of us smarty pants that we are, think we got it all figured out. We can read the rule book and know what's right. Of course, pulling off what's right is a whole nother matter, isn't it? But there was one thing that just started here in the same 2 Peter chapter 2. And it says, and it's going on just before that really bad stuff. It was talking about depravity of false teachers. It says, the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve unjust for under punishment for the day of judgment. But I'm going to get this self-chastisement here for myself and some of my friends, especially those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise authority. Now, we have to be careful here, don't we, all of us? So you're going to hear people decrying things against the governor and things like that when he tries to do something moral. But let's look at what this continues to say. They are presumptuous, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries. I'm getting a little bit sick of people who might disagree with some really depraved things that might be coming out of the mouth of the president of the United States or the governors or senators or whatever. The careful thing is, guys, watch this. Whereas angels who are greater in power and might do not bring a reviling accusation against them before the Lord. We have to be careful, guys, to stick to the facts. We can quote people that say things that are depraved, and let's not rant and rave about it. Let's get back to the reference. Let's quote the Bible. Let's quote the things that the founders understood as self-evident truths to remind us what the responsibility of our government is. But at the same time, we ought to, all of us, be respectful, no matter whether we agree with people or not. We have this Awana program where we have youth that meet us at our house on Sunday nights. And last night was a verse about exhorting one another to good works, even more so as we see the day approaching. So that's my encouragement to those who claim the name of Christ have been forgiven of their sins. It's time to behave accordingly. Caller, thank you for calling the John Cash Show. What's your question or comment?
Oh, hey, David. I had a comment and a question, maybe in the reverse order. Doesn't this proposed legislation violate the First Amendment?
How so?
Okay, Congress, now granted, we're talking about the General Assembly, so
yes.
Is there a difference there? I mean, I know what the difference is, but we're talking about state law versus federal law. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. Well, when I think through, we have 2,000 years of Christian history with Christians are the ones who started, the little adoption agencies, we'll call them, and, they set up their rules, and this is part of their doctrine that they don't believe that that's the right thing to do. So my question is, doesn't it first violate the First Amendment right?
Well, I'm going to answer that question. I see where you're going. One of the things in Delegate Marshall used the rub. Here's the rub. The executive is committed to fulfilling the Constitution and obeying the law. In fact, I'll quote it later. I'll figure it out. But I've read this in the Virginia Constitution, is that the governor's job is to faithfully execute the laws. That's part of his oath. That's what he's supposed to be doing. Now, the problem is, I have seen in bureaucracies that often they try to get away with as much as they can, in fact, in violation of the Constitution, and then we'll take a position where you put the thing on your shoulder and dare somebody to knock it off, where the only recourse to fixing the problem is to have a suit in court. As Delegate Marshall was saying, he says, well, we got to be careful. We've got to let this thing work its way out. Yes, a letter to the governor will certainly communicate to him what you think. And, of course, that would never be a bad thing. But there's a process that's deliberately put in place so that we can control our passions and address these issues before they get to the place where we're making the three branches of government war against each other. Because one of the things may have to happen is if the General Assembly sees the bureaucracy violating the policies of the General Assembly, they may have to write a law that goes directly to that particular behavior. And then it, again, creates another big political frenzy. Am I answering that question right? Maybe I need to go to part B on my explanation. It very well would be a violation of religion, but I will tell you, this will drive people crazy. If a agency is practicing James 4:17 religion and taking care of the widows and the orphans, they are immune ultimately from laws that would prohibit that based upon the Constitution. But some would say, oh, you're being a lawbreaker. No, they're obeying the law, revealed law, natural law. And then there's the laws of men. As long as the laws of men don't violate the first two, they're legal. They're in those things that God is indifferent to. But when you begin to fulfill true bona fide religion and are obeying, carrying out that love commandment of the Heavenly Father, you ultimately don't need to ask for an exemption from the rule. You are immune from the law that would try to subject you to some other thing. That's my opinion. Of course, people can call us back tomorrow, 454-1650, if they disagree.
Well, and then you can comment on this. I think of our free enterprise system. We both recognize that it's the far left and the secular humanists who are trying to advance their agenda, and the only way they can do it is to undermine Christian principles. But setting that aside and just thinking of capitalism, of the free enterprise system, if homosexuals want to adopt so badly, let them start their own adoption agencies. And the free enterprise system will show whether or not they can prevail in the free marketplace.
Well, that's a, can I tell you, that's the law of nature, survival of the fittest. The only problem is we have a higher standard, and we have to hold.
Yes, we do.
And so we cannot abrogate or give up that which we know by self-evident truth is ultimately not just the law of God as revealed in the Bible, but it's a law of nature. I mean, it's a Darwinian thing. If the certain activities don't procreate, we'll just leave it at that. Thank you for your
Absolutely.
Call. Guys, we're going to be back. That was kind of extreme. David Allen Carmichael standing in for John Cash. And hopefully I'll have a guest tomorrow. It'll be quite exhilarating. And again, we're always going to have phone lines so you can give us a call. Check out johncashministries.com. He's the real thing. I'm just the rental. So John will be back next week again with the John Cash Show, talking about the issues of the day from a Christian worldview, from a Christian perspective, as a ministry to his neighbor, to love God and love his neighbor as himself. Again, you can check out johncashministries.com. And because Rodney would like me to, you can find out more about me at faithfreedoms.org.